No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Today we're here with T Grizzly. How you living, bro?
Living good, man. Enjoying this Cali weather.
Yeah, that's facts. For the record, our sponsor, Bearwoods.
Yeah.
Normally they would be on the table, but my man's is on papers to the extent where he can't even be in the fucking frame with the weed.
Yeah, shout out to Bearwood, though.
I like that. That's cool. I didn't know it was that serious.
Yeah, it's like I can barely walk in liquor stores, man.
Just in general?
Yeah.
What, because you're not supposed to be like documented in there, or?
I'm not supposed to be around no alcohol or tobacco or weed or any. It's strict.
Holy shit. How many more years of that do you have?
I only got to October. I already did 2 years on it.
Oh, that's crazy. But can you be in the club or not?
Only for business.
Only for business.
And then when people taking pictures, it can't be no bottles in the section.
What the fuck? And what's your PO like? Are they like really going in on this shit, or are they kind of lax?
They cool with me because I don't really be messing up like that. You see, like I be on it. You know, so they cool, but if it's ever a time where they see that, they gonna be on it for sure.
That's so crazy. Damn, that's fucking, it's sad. Do you feel, it's like a trap, huh? Like, it's really a trap when you get out of jail, they put these restrictions on you that are so strict that you can't possibly, or it's very, very hard for you to stay within the lines, right?
Because it's set up to be a revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's set up for you to get back. You know, them people want that money. The state want that money out you. I think they make like $600 to $1,000 a day, every day you in there.
Mm-hmm.
No, so they definitely want you to go back. They put a lot of restrictions on you. But good thing for me, I can handle it. I can do it. I can walk it down. So.
And you've been out for how long? 2 years now?
Yeah.
I remember because I had this roommate at the time from Detroit, and he was always playing you and always playing a lot of like local dudes from Detroit when he first moved in and started sleeping on my couch. And I don't remember any of the other guys, but I was fucking with your shit from the very beginning. So, just seeing the transformation and how your career kind of went crazy, like, right after you got out has been pretty wild.
That's lit, bro. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to the roommate, man, who put him up on game.
Shout out to Connor. He's, like, a pro BMX kid, too. And, like, actually, I have some friends who still, to this day, would be like, nah, I don't fuck with T Grizzly because Connor played him too much and, like, made us all, like, annoyed by listening to that one song too many times.
Man, that's how it be, though. I done got burned out on some songs before, but... You know, activated on the way. A lot of new music for y'all, man.
You been doing a whole day of press today?
I have been. This is probably like, I think it's like the fourth interview.
And your management, we're just saying that it's going to be your favorite one.
Yeah.
So I'm sticking with that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you're always on like slippery slope with a dude like you, whereas in one sense, it's like you're a gangster. You don't want to like necessarily talk about all the fucked up shit you ever did. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, it's like, your music is so descriptive that it makes you just want to know about, like, you feel like you really know you from listening to your shit.
Right. That's because I feel like that's what put me in the lane of my own.
Mm.
You know, by me telling them truths, by me talking about them chapters in my life, that's what put me in the lane of my own. I ain't just talking.
Was that a hard decision ever at a certain point in the sense that, you know, a lot of rappers are just really, really vague in their raps because, number one, they're lying, or number two, they just don't want to, you know, even if they have done the shit that they're talking about, they don't want to necessarily be out here like saying names and stuff. Your first song that you got famous off was like, you're saying a lot of names, even though they seemed like they were your friends' names, not that you were saying they were doing anything.
No, look, I said their names and what they was doing because we had all caught the cases together.
Right.
We had already did our time, so it ain't like they could come back, you know what I'm saying, say nothing. Now, certain stuff that I did and that I know of, I would never talk about in those songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some stuff don't got no statute of limitation.
Right. Stuff you could you like allude to it, or you could like reference somebody else maybe doing something that in reality
I wouldn't even do that because they'd play it in court and it's too close.
Really?
It's too close to it'll be too close to a real situation. They'd be like, look, this is him talking about. He trying to cover it. I would never put myself in no jam like that.
Right.
You know, so some stuff, the stuff I talk about is stuff I already did my time for. The stuff that I know can't nobody tell on me on.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm talking about one of my men, they done already did their time for it.
Right. What about, I noticed that there was one line that when you were on the Rap Radar podcast that they said something about, like, you saying that you did some crime in a Jaguar, and you were like, oh, no, that's just music, though. You're like once in a while, I'll soup up a lyric a little bit. But
yeah, that part, we wasn't actually in no Jaguar.
Yeah.
We had a getaway car, but I just finessed what kind of car it was. That's it. Ford to rhyme with it.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me. Like, I have a friend who's a comedian, and like he was talking about going to Burning Man, and like there was this big story at Burning Man about how some guy ran directly into the fire, like really ran into the middle of the fire. And he's doing comedy, and I knew he had been at Burning Man, but he's telling the story, He's talking about, I'm standing right there and this guy runs into the fire right in front of me. And I asked him afterwards, I'm like, you watch that guy run into the fire? He's like, oh, no, no, no. But it was like, it was a good joke.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot better when he like, you know, it's like rapping and comedy are kind of the same where it's entertainment at the end of the day. So it's like, if you need to change the details a little bit, it's all right.
That's just, I think that's just people in general though. Like I done been with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like say me and you go somewhere to one of our friends' house and our friends tell me and you a story about something. And then me and you go somewhere and you tell somebody your story. So, and but you make it seem like you was there, and like you right. saw it up close. Mm-hmm. Like people definitely put theirs on it if you let them.
Yeah. Or sometimes I'll have like a crazy ass story and I'll tell the story 10 times to a bunch of different friends, and then I'll realize at a certain point that maybe there's like a part in the story where they start to get lost or confused, and then I'll just like remove those details and just make the story a little bit more simple.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, so let's get into the T Grizzly background. So where exactly are you from? I want to hear the roots.
From Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. But what area specifically?
I'm from the west side of Detroit. That's Joy Road between Southfield and Evergreen.
We hear a lot about Joy Road.
Yeah.
That fucking polar bear thing, that thing's insane.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
What did you have to do? How many crimes did you have to commit to get this thing?
You got to commit a lot. All I had to do was rap.
On record.
Fortunately.
Holy shit, you got some big ass fingers too. This thing would not fit most of my fingers easily. Damn. I just got like distracted enough by like the ring that I couldn't even continue to focus on your childhood.
Man, I appreciate it. But no, childhood growing up for me, it's like I always say, like I was exposed to three things. You can either go to work or go to school every day, come home, you know, repeat the routine. Or you could be an alcoholic, drug addict, one of them, you know, repeat that routine. Or you could be in the streets. Whether you robbing, whether you killing people, taking hits, or whether you selling drugs. These are only three things I'm exposed to growing up. And the people who looked like they had the most fun to me was the people in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't stressing about work or no school. They weren't looked down upon because they was crackheads or alcoholics. You know what I'm saying? They having the most fun. They making money. Every time you come outside, they driving up the street real fast, nice clothes on, jewelry. So I was like, I wanted to be like that.
But so were those just people you were seeing on the streets at that age, or did you have were your parents at all wrapped up in shit, or were your parents hanging out with people?
My parents was the ones in the streets.
Oh, okay.
My parents, uncles, aunties, all of them, my whole family was in the streets.
Just selling drugs or what kind of stuff?
Selling drugs.
And so you, as a very young kid, you remember like just seeing that, and it was always normal to you, or was there a certain point where you realized?
It was so normal. I'd be sitting in the living room with my grandma. And my uncle would be like, here, T, take this outside to them. And it'd be like some crack or some heroin.
Uh-huh.
My grandma don't say nothing. Like, this is normal. Like, this is how we live. Like, run this outside right quick. Make sure you get the money first. Not bring it back in and just go back to like nothing was going on.
But do you remember when it kicked into your head? Like, oh, shit, this is some dangerous chemicals that I'm fucking handing out.
No, it never occurred to me what the drugs can do to people.
Really?
You know? Only time I knew that the streets was serious is when that same uncle or them same aunties was getting killed and going to prison for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'm like, hold on, this might be crazy. This might not be it.
Right.
You know, but in school, I always did my work though because it was easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and plus, all my friends, we all did our work and then we did whatever we did, mm-hmm. clowned around and all that. You know, and moving like that in high school landed me in college because
mm-hmm.
I did so good there.
I mean, listening to your music is like no denying that you're obviously a really smart person.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know that when you were a kid? Did anybody tell you that? Or did you figure that out over time?
I had to figure that out over time.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't know.
Which is a shame because when you look at like rich kids and the way that they're raised, it's like as soon as they show a little bit of talent for something, their parents are really trying to like help develop that. You're in like an opposite situation where you were smart, but your parents didn't necessarily like know the value of what you had.
Definitely not.
So school did work, but you know, you just never passionate about it or never really cared?
So the thing, when I got to school, I was passionate about it, but I just didn't have no money.
Mm.
You know, and by me being like from the streets, I'm like, okay, I know how to get some money these ways. You know, I ain't really comfortable selling those drugs on campus because a lot of people getting caught up selling drugs, getting told on.
Oh, yeah, because you went to college. What, was that a hard decision to like go to college in the first place?
No, it was the only decision I had.
Mm.
It's like I'm going to be stuck here forever and repeat this cycle. Like by this time, My pops then got killed. My mama then got all this type of time. Uncle then got killed. Auntie dead.
So who you staying with?
My grandma.
Okay.
Granddad then died. Everybody really just dying and getting locked up. And I got this acceptance letter to college. So it's like, I got to do this.
Right.
Or it ain't going to be nothing else to do. So.
Did you go out of state for college?
No, I stayed in okay. state. I ain't have enough to go out of state.
Right.
So went to Michigan State, boom. Now, within my major, I had access to some internships, but I had to travel. You know, they was going to pay for the ticket there in the hotel, but I had to buy my own food and have a change of clothes and had this type of business attire and all that type of mm-hmm. stuff. But I ain't had no money. So I'm like, everybody getting caught up here selling drugs, so I might just rob and home invasions and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to doing that.
But did you know, who when you go to college, who'd you start hanging out with right away? And was it sort of you falling into the wrong crowd to even know people who were doing shit like this?
Right away, I started hanging with some dudes that was doing good in college.
Uh-huh.
I started hanging with some dudes that was doing good. Like, I ain't even have it in my mind to do nothing illegal when I first went there.
Right.
I'm hanging around good people. Boom, the people who, like, I was at seeing that orientation, and we both from the city, so we, like, bet we was going to rock out together up here.
Right.
Help each other out, make sure each other stay on point. Now, this is like a whole nother life.
Mm-hmm. Compared to what you're used to seeing.
Yeah, this is like a whole nother, like, you got all these type of opportunities. You got these people coming up here, like, you see people graduating, getting offered full-time positions at whatever job. So it's like, I done made it here. Like, I'm good. I ain't never got to look back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing that. So I got to call the people from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, come up here. This is where it's at. Like, you need to come up here and enroll in the community college, then switch over to the university. Like, this is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't never got to do none of that no more. You know what I'm saying? So one friend in particular came up there. He was broke. Told me, like, I only had $80 left and paid this phone bill.
Mm.
Now, I needed some money, but I'm trying to get a job. So the broke friend come back one day with, like, $11,000 on them.
You're like, what the fuck?
Man, what? I'm like, whatever you did, I don't know what you did, but whatever you did, we doing it again tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it was. So he like, all right, bet. So he got to break it in dorms and all that. So now I'm running my money up. So one day, I'm like, how much money you got saved up from everything? He like, I don't know. I'm about to go grab it, though. I'm like, bet, I'm about to go grab all mine, too. We gonna meet back up at bro room. He like, all right, bet. So he go grab all his money. I go grab all mine. I got about 6,000 on me. I done spent so much. I got about 6,000 on me. And we went up to the room. He like, after we grab him, I'm about to grab my bags out of here, and we just gonna slide to Detroit right quick because it's getting hot up here. They starting to catch on to us.
Mm.
So we knock on the door. One of the Michigan State police officers answered the door. Boom. They come out there, search us, take all our money off of us. Went to my room.
So you were just about to leave?
I was just about to leave, man.
Wow.
Just about to leave. They went to my room, right? And I had like 40 laptops in there and like 20 iPhones. This is all stolen.
Oh, my God.
So I'm shaking. I'm scared. Like, damn, they about to go find it. You know what I'm saying? I'm sick. But I guess word passed around that I had got locked up, that the police snatched us up. So one of my friends who I was at orientation with went to go get it out of my room, put it in his room. So my roommate, like, somebody came and got it. Somebody came and got a bag out of here. You know, the police, did anybody come get something? He like, yeah, somebody came and got it. My roommate ain't like me anyway, you know. So he went to my friend's room. You came and got a bag out of his room? He like, yeah. Told on me, I got this out of his room, boom. Whole bunch of laptops and stuff. They like me and bro up. But
how long have you been in college at this point?
I was only up there for like 4 months.
Really?
I was only up there like for like 4 months. I didn't even complete the whole semester. So he like, we get locked up. They process us. Let us go. Let us go without no charge. 5 months later, they came back and charged us. But we end up getting lesser charges because they didn't really have nothing on us.
Mm.
You know, because dude came in my room and took a boogie bag.
Right.
And when they went to his room and got it, it was full of laptops and stuff. Like, I told them, like, it was books in there when it was in my room.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a dead body in. If he come and get it back out my room, put a dead body in there and say he got out my room, that mean I had something to do with it.
So he did you a favor by messing with the crime scene.
Exactly. Once that bag is out of my possession, I'm not in control of what goes in or what comes out of it. Mm-hmm. When I had it, it was books in there. And I'm not getting caught breaking into no rooms. Mm-hmm. So I'm good. I only took the time that I took because I knew that I did it. Mm-hmm. I'm not about to go to trial for a case I know that I'm guilty of.
But how long did you get for that?
I only got 18 months for it.
Okay.
You know, but I'm not going to trial for a case I know I'm guilty. Like, I know I did it.
Right.
So don't give me the 18 months and I'm going to get on out your way.
So you did 18 months and at what age? Like 19?
I was 18 when I did. No, I was 18 when I did 18 months. Then I got sent to Kentucky when I was 19.
Right.
Then I did my time down there. Then it came back to Michigan. I ended up getting out when I was like 21.
Okay. So how was jail for you that first time around?
The first time it was cool in Michigan. You know, dudes up there cool. Or you know, such and such. You know, dude, where you from? I'm over here. Boom. It was when I went to Kentucky where I had the problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why? What happened out there?
I got to. They like to fight a lot down there. Mm. Like, there's some fighting people down there. That's probably what made me want to fight so much when I got back to Michigan.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's just a different breed down there.
So you were able to kind of enjoy it in Michigan because of the fact that, like, you were just learning, like, the politics of the street shit that related to where you're from anyway?
Yeah, I mean, older dudes that knew my peoples. Mm. I mean, mutual friends, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, everything good. When I came in there, people are like, you ain't got no TV. You such and such peoples. Here you go. Boom.
But Kentucky was just some bullshit?
Yeah, when I went to Kentucky, like, as soon as I got down there, are you from Detroit? Oh, yeah. Y'all niggas ain't know nothing up there. and we can go that way. What's up? Without me even saying nothing. And mm-hmm. You can't not do nothing about that because it's like everybody watching.
Right. So you had to get in a whole bunch of fights just to get your respect or what?
You got to. Because it's like if when you walk through there, if somebody say something to you and test you and you don't do nothing and you like tuck your tail, don't have nobody send you no money.
Right.
Because they taking all of that.
It's such a shame, too, because it's like, that's good advice in real life. If me and you were standing on the street and somebody walked by and said, hey, you a pussy, I'd be like, T, chill, come on. Like, don't do anything. Let's go back inside. Yeah. That'd be the smart thing to do, but if you're in jail, that does not work.
It don't. It's a whole nother world. Like, take what goes on up here, out here, flip it upside down, mm-hmm. and that's what that is in there. And people so petty. I'm talking about, like, the pettiest. Like, if you got a pen, right, say we out here, you got a pen, I pick up. Boom. You'll be like, and I said it back. It ain't no problem.
It, yeah.
In there, you pick up my pen, you getting butchered.
Mm. Like the jewelry. Like you having all that jewelry, like think about that in a jail situation because people would be ready to kill you over something that was worth 1% of what you got on one finger.
Listen to me. When you walk past somebody's cell, you can't even stare. It's a violation to stare in somebody's cell. Mm-hmm. You know how you walk past a classroom in school and you look in every classroom? When you walking past people's cells, you can't look at nobody. That's disrespectful. Mm-hmm. When they on the phone, don't say nothing about what they were saying on the phone. Mm-hmm. If they get a letter on a computer, don't look and stick your head when you see their pictures coming. None of that. Like, the main rule there is to mind your business. Don't offer nobody nothing. Don't ask nobody for nothing. If somebody give you something, don't take it. Like, it's crazy. It's a lot of rules
there. The craziest thing is that we take criminals, people who have committed at least some crimes or have been accused of crimes or whatever, and then we put them in jail, like basically the worst series of incentives, and like just surround them by people and like, you know, just basically put them in the worst situation possible that's going to train them to be monsters by the time they get out.
That make people worse. Mm. Like, you know how many people call me from prison, like, man, these people that fucked up, they don't know what they did. Like, they should have never let me sit down and have no time to think.
Right.
I'm going to come out there and go even crazier. And fighting a case, I know what to do to not get caught now. Mm. I know what I got to do to get away this time. If I kill somebody and y'all find me guilty of manslaughter, I do 5 years. Now, next time I kill somebody, I know what tracks to cover.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They create, like, super criminals.
Man, it's people in there making tattoo guns. Mm-hmm. Out of iPods and pens. You know, if you give me an iPod right now or some clippers and a pen and say, and a guitar and say, make a tattoo gun, I wouldn't know the first thing to do.
Right.
But being in there, you know, to take the string off the guitar, take the motor out of the clippers and get the ink from the pen and go like that.
They got all the time in the world. They'll figure it out.
Man, it's crazy in there, man.
So you get out of there, and then you go back to Michigan, and then what's your life like once you get back?
Once I get back, I'm like worse. I'm like worse. I'm like antisocial. I don't want to be friends with people. Don't talk to me. Let me do my time, and I'm gone. You know, people in there, man, what you in here for? What you do? Man, I don't really talk to the guys about my case, man. What's up? You know me or something? Oh, okay, I don't really talk to guys about what I did. You know, and then you got some dudes who just be looking at you thinking they know you. Like, you can't do that. People walk up to you, hey, you know me or something? Oh, then why is you staring at me, bro?
Right.
You know, and you got to come up with a, like, valid reason. It's people in there who, like, you know how people do gay people out here on the streets?
Mm-hmm. What do you like, mean? Just talking shit to them on the street?
Yeah, like talking shit to them and bashing them and all that. You can't do that in there. Even the gay people turn up on you in there.
Mm.
You know, they in there, you say something, and the nigga's gay or something like that. And when I'm here, they be like, yeah, now, how is that any of your business? You know what I'm saying? And if you, like, if you try to get, like, back tough with them, they got all type of knives, they gonna butcher you. They can fight. They work out all day. You know, it's just crazy. Like, the best thing to do, mind your business and just do your time.
Yeah, somebody said to me, they were like, if you did get locked up, you might be all right because you, like, have done a lot in your life and you're kind of smart. You might be able to, like, get in and be cool with people through being smart. Yeah. They're like, that's your best bet.
You, if you get locked up, you're going to be straight because you got all them tattoos.
but they're going to think I'm a Nazi, dude. I got no hair on my head.
People gonna be intimidated by that off rip. Oh, yeah, dude, I've been down for about 15 years. Mm. Dude, with your type of tattoos, been down for 15, 20 years.
I'm gonna have to really join the set if I get locked up, though. Everybody I hang out here in real life, I gotta make it official before I go in. Actually, that could be worse.
Man, listen, I seen a dude like you. He was in some type of gang. He got all the type of tattoos. He, like, short, too. He real way shorter than you. I seen him walk up to a dude or whatever. I told you to be off the yard by Tuesday. If I wake up tomorrow and see you out here, it's going to be a problem. And he walked away. I'm looking at the whole thing. My people's getting mad at me. Man, what you looking at? Whatever, turn your head. That ain't your business. Don't worry about that. I come out the next day. Dude playing baseball, who they told to leave. Nah. When something about to happen, you could feel it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could feel it like something about to happen. So I just got this eerie feeling. Like, my stomach hurt. Like, something about to happen. You know, they told dude to leave. So, like, he playing baseball with all the dude people, the short dude.
Mm.
Man, they did that man so dirty with them bats. They got, like, steel bats. Did him so dirty. And the police ain't even come for, like, 8 minutes. They got a good 8 minutes off on him.
Damn.
He wake up, the blood that's coming out his head don't even look like blood. It look like pink Starburst or something. Like, you bit a Starburst or something. It was crazy.
And is it the kind of thing where, is the whole yard going crazy as soon as they start beating on him, or is it the kind of thing where nobody really even tries to pay attention?
People keep walking. They ain't got nothing to do with that.
What the fuck?
You know, even his mans, but they ain't got nothing to do with me.
Right. Damn, that's so crazy. All right, so how do you get out of, so you get back to Michigan, you're still in prison for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then how do you get out of there, and what goes on from there?
When I get back to Michigan, I'm really more polished and more, like, institutionalized than the people in Michigan.
Doing the dorm room stuff must have seemed kind of petty in comparison. You're like, man, if I'm going to do something now, I could get some real money.
Yeah, definitely. It's like you meet people in there that was, like, masterminds out here.
Right.
I was in the feds for a minute, too, so you meet people. I was in there with a dude that got caught with, like, 200,000 pills. I'm asking, like, how did you even get that many pills?
Yeah.
This dude's in there that got caught with $14 million. I'm like, man, I don't even want to tell y'all what I did.
Because the whole thing when you're a young shithead and you just want to do illegal shit is that you don't have the connections. You don't know people.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I would have been probably like selling kilos of coke when I was 18 if I knew somebody who would have sold them to me and I could have figured it out, you know?
Exactly. But some dudes get in there real young, meet them people, get out and get plugged in with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I seen that happen too.
It's crazy because I never even talk about this, but like the reason why I dropped out of college after 1 year was basically the same shit as you. I just started doing credit card fraud, and then all of a sudden I was like, man, what the fuck am I doing in college?
Right.
But I never got caught, and that's the crazy thing is that that's the, in life we always forget about that, is that getting caught is the whole thing.
Man, I feel like when we doing stuff, I felt like getting caught wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought like prison was fake. Like, dang, I ain't going to no prison. what I look like looking up being in prison, that ain't gonna never happen to me.
Because it's so easy to not get caught that if you just keep going and not getting caught, then it starts to feel like, how could I ever get caught? Exactly. But you don't think about the fact that there's so many situations that are out of your hands.
There's so many people in there who thought the same way as you,
mm-hmm.
doing life. That's why.
Credit card fraud was breezy, though. You could like kind of just get out of there. They
I ain't gonna lie, with any fraud, it's like high risk. I mean, it's like low risk, high reward.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the smartest type.
Compared
of
to something anyway. Like doing fucking breaking and entering, it's like, you know, I know people have made a hell of money off breaking in houses out here and shit, but at the same time, it's like no matter what, it's a pretty high chance you're going to get caught.
If I got caught red-handed, I would have got 20 years for that.
Right.
Because what I did was home invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Home invasion is when somebody there and you break in.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different ball game. You know, if you break in while somebody there, that's 20 years at the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
So if I would have got caught red-handed, that's what it would have been. But it was people there, and they were asleep. But don't nobody know that I was going in there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we got some L.A.'s finest up-and-coming rappers who right now are facing crazy time because of that exact situation of breaking in houses and then just goes wrong.
It's crazy.
The flocking is real out here. Anyway.
I heard YG. I be hearing them talk about flocking.
There's a whole culture out here.
So it's like gangs.
I mean, I don't know. Like, if you really listen to YG, he kind of puts you on the whole game. They drive around in, like, fancy-ass areas. They go to Asian people's houses. They knock. They, like, try to make sure that nobody's there. And then they run up in there, and they don't believe in banks, so they have hella cash and jewelry and all this shit.
What?
Yeah. That's what they're always saying about the Asian people and shit, is because they don't like banks.
Oh, yeah.
So you can run up in there and get 50 grand, theoretically.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's like... That, if you think about it, I mean, shit, selling crack ain't really too easy in 2018, but running up in somebody's house. I don't know.
Crack still existed for real.
That's some old school shit. Fraud and breaking in people's houses seems like it's the way. Mm-hmm. Not for you kids out there, but like in general, it seems like that's the choice. All right, so you get out of prison in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
What's your life like, though? Like, what do you try to do with your life? You try to go straight? You try to get a job?
When I get out of prison?
Yeah.
I had to get a job because I was on parole. You know, so I started working at this golf course. Mm-hmm. But like 2 weeks later, I had dropped a song and a video and everything took off. So it been like lit since.
It happened that fast?
It happened fast, 2 weeks.
So first day out came out 2 weeks after you got out of jail?
No, that came out like a week after.
Okay. But you just went in the studio as soon as you got home?
Yeah. That's all I was trying to do. Like, I wasn't trying to see no females. I didn't care about eating no good food, going to no clubs, nothing. I wanted to go to the studio.
But was rap really in your head? Even before jail, or did it just start to come together while you were in there?
Before jail, it was like, all right, I can do it, and I'm sweet, so I'm going to just do this. I'm going to just do it. But then when I got out of jail, it was like, man, this is all I got, and I feel like I'm sweeter than people.
Right.
So I'm about to just do it. I don't feel like nobody sounded like me, so why not take advantage of it?
We skipped over the whole jewelry store operation and everything, just for the record.
Mm.
Not that we have to or anything, but, I mean, it was, so that was like a whole different situation when you got out?
No, okay, so remember I told you they let me out. And Lansing, when they ain't charged with nothing, they let us out.
Right.
So 5 months later, they called, yeah, it's a warrant out for your arrest for this. And my man's name was already about to go to Kentucky to do the little smash and grab thing.
Right.
So I'm like, ain't no point in me staying in Michigan. I'm gone too. I might need this for lawyer money. Went down there, tried to do that, got caught.
So it made a bad situation worse?
Yeah.
Okay.
Had a whole plan too. Just had a whole plan.
What, the jewelry in particular, or what?
So when we got down there, we put into these apartments looking for a car to steal. Boom, stole the Jeep. We were arguing about being the driver because all of us scared to go in there and do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, I ain't about to keep rocking Joe. We in there, come on. Bro leg messed up, so he got to be the driver. So they like, all right, bet we going to run across this main street. I'm like, no, because if the people see us committing a crime running across, they might hit us on some civilians arrest type, you know. So we gonna run around the corner. I'm big at the time still. So I ain't trying to do too much running anyway. So you going to jewelry store. We got on hoodies. We in Kentucky, it's hot as hell down here. They're like, why y'all got on hoodies? What's going on? I'm like, oh no, we boxers out of Cincinnati. We gotta lose weight. We got fights coming up. You know, so he like, okay, Cincinnati, okay. So my man's like, do it. We all got hammer seat talking. They talk to each other. Do it. I'm like, man, these niggas, man.
So you had to be the one to announce that there's a robbery?
Yeah, want to do it right. But I can't show these people that I won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because you're real young and shit.
Yeah, I don't want to seem like I wouldn't do this. I only did it to show people that I would do it. You know, because I didn't know how my peers looked at me. I didn't know if they thought it was sweet or what. So I pulled the hammer out, boom, hit the glass. My man's go to grab the whole platform of watches, Rolex watches. All you hear is freeze. When I hear freeze, first thing I think about is a gun. I turn around, dude got a gun. And the way he looked it, I know any move I made, he was gonna shoot it.
For real.
I dropped the hammer, got on. The other dude come out of the bag with another gun. Boxer's my ass. Ooh. So he holding the gun, he get to putting his foot all on my man's neck. Dude get to try to wrestle him. He cock you back. I'm like, bro, stop wrestling, stop moving, let him do what he wanna do, man. Cause if they kill you, they gonna charge me with it. Chill out. So my man's running around the table on him. They end up catching him, tackling him down. We land there for like an hour. Police come. I knew it was gonna take the police a long time because we called the police before we got there and said we seen somebody with a gun on campus.
Mm.
So when we got away, they won't be on us.
That's smart.
So
that's pretty good. Yeah, he just looked at me like real proud, like, yeah.
So yeah, it was just crazy. Made a bad situation worse.
Holy fuck. So you ended up getting sentenced for all the shit at the same time, or is just different shit had you floating around in different prisons?
Different stuff. Michigan, okay, so Michigan came and got me. Cause I had that warrant. They're like, do you want to do your time up here first and then go down there? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, no. I want to go back down there and handle that. Then I come back over here and talk to you. I don't want to even see y'all right now. Because I'm thinking that if I go down there and do that, Michigan will let it go because it's petty. And I ain't get caught. So I'm like, no, I don't want to do none of this right now. Send me back to Kentucky. They send me back. I do my time down there. As soon as I'm leaving out, they right at Michigan, right at the door. Come on.
Yeah.
In the van. I'm like, damn. Sick. They was down there. My cousin down there to get me. Right, I'm thinking I'm about to hop in the car. Hell yeah, let me hurry up. I look over. Mr. Wallace, Michigan police. Had to go up there.
Was that the most like devastating feeling you ever felt?
Most.
Oof.
Most devastating.
You think that your life's about to get a lot better and all of a sudden it's more of the same?
I'm thinking I'm about to get out.
Crazy. All right, so I mean, I'm crazy interested in how First Days Out came out. So do you have those bars written while you were still locked up?
Yep. So my thing was this, right? Like I say, when I came home, my plan when I came home was I don't want to do nothing but go to the studio. I don't care about none of that. Club, females, nothing. I just want to rap and get some money. If it ain't about no money or no music, legal money, that is, or my music, I really don't even want to talk or waste my time doing it. You know, so as soon as I came home, that's what I was on. I started looking for producers.
Mm-hmm.
Make the beat. So many producers couldn't make this beat. I'm rapping it to them. I'm thinking like these people is retarded.
So you had an idea for how the beat was supposed to sound too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a rap in my head. I was making the beat on the table and everything. Like, bro, follow this type of thing. Ran into one producer. He nailed it. Boom. Shot the video. Did the song. Shot the video. Week later.
The original video?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was a pretty nice video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Week later. It's lit.
That's crazy. So what, it just starts blowing up from there? Like you didn't really, were you just completely taken aback by the fact that your plan actually worked? Because keep in mind, this is everybody's plan when they get out of jail and it never works.
Mm-hmm. I ain't gonna lie, that's crazy. That's like saying, yeah, I'm gonna go hoop for this college, D in this college, and then I'm gonna get picked up. I'm gonna get drafted probably second round.
Get drafted day one, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, that's like somebody saying, I'm only gonna do my freshman year to enter the draft and go round two at the latest. And it happened just like that. Like, that's everybody's plan, and it never worked.
Right.
So, really, it's magical, for real.
And everybody thinks that they're really good at rapping, but, I mean, you obviously, like, from that song sounds like you've been rapping forever. Like, you've made 100,000 songs, not your first one.
Mm-hmm. I had.
You had, but we didn't hear them, or they didn't get recorded and shit?
I used to make songs and listen to them myself. I didn't even put them out. Mm-hmm. I didn't even put all my songs out.
That's a good idea.
I would go make whole CDs, right? Just to listen to them myself.
That's how it ends up for most dudes anyway, because they'll like put a bunch of shit on SoundCloud and then all of a sudden they start to get kind of popping. They delete everything that like doesn't really represent their current sound usually, you know? Mm-hmm. So in terms of like where you took your career from there, like you got this one song that comes out and starts popping. Do you just try to figure out the management situation, or how'd you start moving around? What'd you start doing?
So I ain't gonna lie, I had my plan when I came home. It was this one dude talking so good. Like, when you come home, put you in position, whatever, whoop, whoop. I got these producers. They used to produce for Rick Ross. I got you. dude from Easter telling me this. I come home, my cousin, then I got a cousin who like, all right, bet, I'ma put you in a position to do this. You feel me? And then I got an uncle. Now my uncle was my last resort. I didn't even plan on fucking with him because I don't like the nigga.
Yeah.
You feel me? I feel like he wasn't 100 when I needed him to be.
Yeah, I don't fuck with uncles.
So the dude from Easter, boom. I'm like, what's up? He get locked up. So he trying to go through his mans to get to me. I'm like, oh, bro, it ain't. I just wait till you come home. So now I'm like, I'm mess with cuz. Cuz playing. I'm like, cuz, I'm trying to go to the studio. He trying to do whatever he doing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like, man, I got to fuck with this nigga, Unk. Go holler at Unk. Unk got a couple dollars. I didn't even know he had no couple dollars. Cause nigga ain't sent me nothing when I was like, I'm like, damn, you got some money. So he got some money. He like, yeah, you know, me and Auntie gonna do it. Ooh. I'm like, man, you all right. This shit don't even seem like it's about to happen because you want some shit like you still want to rap with me. I don't even know if she all the way supportive of the music, you know, so this shit just like seem like it just ain't gonna happen. I'm like, I'm gonna have to stack these work checks. So they end up coming together perfect. He end up not being on no bullshit on the money. She ended up being fully invested.
He wasn't trying to rap with you?
No.
That does sound like a nightmare.
He was. But he was trying to let me do my, he gonna let me do my thing first.
He was trying to be your bird man?
Yeah, because okay. I had the vision. So they ended up being fully invested, and it took off. I ended up not messing with him anyway.
Okay.
Because he's the type of person he is. You know? And that's the auntie of the situation.
Mm-hmm. So did you get signed early on, or did you start putting out more videos without getting signed?
I got signed early on.
Yeah. How'd that go? You doing meetings with everybody?
I only took like 4 meetings, okay. 3. And everybody was just sounding like just up too businessy and just too much bullshit. I wasn't really trying to hear it.
So,
but 300 came, and it was like I was just the most comfortable with 300 for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of good people over there. Do you feel like what was it that made you want to sign? Because it's like Detroit has like a long history of like there's been so much talent coming out of there, but usually they don't really pass a certain threshold.
Yeah, I mean, I needed the money, and I wanted to sign. I wanted to be signed.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a dream, not even the money. Forget the money. It's a dream to get signed when mm-hmm. you're from Detroit and you're rapping. You know what I'm saying? Like we do not get signed, mm-hmm. especially when you sound like how I sound.
Right.
You know, so the opportunity.
Where you're really rapping.
Exactly. So the opportunity came, and it's like, you feel me? I got to do this. This is gonna be a good look. This is like marketing for real.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I get signed, it's gonna make everybody want to hear, oh, this is new artist. What they sign him for? I got to hear. He must be. You know what I'm saying? Good. So, got signed. And I really opened up doors because I'm the first person to get signed to a label, you know, from the city that sound like how I sound.
Mm-hmm.
Some dudes come and get up under artists, and some dudes got other sounds from Detroit and make it like Eminem and Big Sean. But me, I got that Detroit culture,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And labels took to it. Fans took to it, you know.
That's crazy, yeah. Because it's like, you know, you're competing against a lot of dudes who are basically just on the Instagram shenanigans every day, and they spend a lot more on hair dye than you.
Man, listen, this the thing, right? All I got for myself is being me. You know, that's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
These other dudes got being something so otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
That's getting them attention. A lot of hair dye, that's getting them attention. Getting on there doing a whole bunch of just crazy stuff. You know, all I'm doing is being me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I ain't never mad at nobody doing what's working for them. I encourage them to keep doing it. Because if you stop, you might stop making money. So keep, you know, keep going to the beauty supply, getting to die. Keep doing all that.
It's just crazy to think about because, like, somebody like you, you appeal to young fans, but then also old fans. Like, you do a really, really good job of fitting into that where, like, I feel like if I brought you around Ghostface Killah, who we were talking about a minute ago. Like, I feel like he would really respect your raps, but then I feel like a 16-year-old kid could also fuck with your shit. And that's a hard position to be in these days.
I mean, because at the end of the day, it's lit, right? Like, when you lit, the young people gonna mess with you,
mm-hmm.
right? And the old people gonna mess with me because it's like, okay, what's the new stuff? Let me see the new stuff. what is all this going on? What's the... Then you got this dude being himself, and you hear what he's saying, but, oh, yeah, I can mess with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel like that's what it be.
I got to ask you this question. Did you really steal this white boy's Xbox?
Man, I don't even know him. No. I was only taking from the Asians. I was only taking from the Asians. And the only reason I was taking from only them, because they the only ones with some money up there.
Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, that like DJ Academics did a whole interview with some white kid who was just, T-Grizzly stole my fucking Xbox.
No. I ain't steal no Xboxes. I was only stealing Apple products, MacBooks, laptops, iPads, Apple iPhones, all that. I wasn't stealing no Xboxes. You know how much you get for an Xbox in my hood right now?
What, like $100?
$60. A new Xbox still in the box, you getting $60 for. I swear.
So when this kid popped up online, this was just a complete surprise to you?
Man, listen, he was calling the phone so many times, the business phone.
He was hitting you up.
Yeah,
okay.
I finally asked her, like, let me see what this is. Let me talk to one of the fans or whatever. Because it's the business phone that's on my Instagram. So he get on there. I'm thinking he on some cool stuff. He gets to talking crazy. I'm like, this funny. This is going to be entertainment for my page. Let me throw this up.
Oh, okay. You exposed him.
Yeah, he ended up going viral.
Oh, okay. Hey, man, that shit was funny as fuck, though. Like, I mean,
he made an Instagram page tomorrow, catch this fade, T Grizzly.
But didn't he end up, like, trying to say that people were coming for him and that he was scared and all this shit, too?
Man, I don't know. I hope not, because if he called into my people, then that's a violation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Shout out to that kid, fucking whoever the fuck he is. Yeah, but, I mean, all right, so early on you had the collaboration with Yachty. You didn't know him before or anything. How'd that happen?
We had a few conversations before, but it ain't like we knew each other.
Uh-huh.
You know, we had a few conversations. That was about it. We knew we wanted to make a song together. And then we made the song and got in the studio together and vibe good. We just kept in contact, and it's just been a little bond that we've just been building ever since.
So that was in the studio, and you guys were really just taking turns going back in and out the booth? That must have been crazy as fuck.
Like, let me know what your last N-word is so I can rhyme with it. All right, bet, boom.
People don't do that anymore.
We kept doing that.
That shows like a level of like, because I was used to listening to like The Lox, Styles P, and Jadakiss would be doing that and everything. And then when I actually like hear rappers do it these days, I'm like, damn, that's crazy, because it wouldn't really work that good if you were just like emailing somebody that.
Hell no. Nah.
It'd be hard to pull it off, yeah.
It'd be weak if you was emailing. I don't like that email stuff anyway.
You don't do features like that usually?
I do, but I don't like it, though. I like to get in the studio and catch the vibe.
Mm-hmm. That Dirk tape.
Yeah.
Was that emailed at all, or you guys just hanging out?
We did that whole tape in the studio.
How long did it take?
3 days.
That's just hard. How do you know Dirk?
We from the same, like, part. We from, like, both from the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
And we both from the streets, and we both hang around the same type of people.
Right.
We got a lot in common. So we just came together like that.
He's a legend. And, like, I mean, you chose to, like, talk about some of the realest shit I feel like you ever talked about on the tape with him. I feel like you guys were kind of, like, almost competing for, like, the depth of realism like that.
That's what we was doing. I swear that's what we was doing.
Yeah, like, the song about you put the flyers up. Like, I mean, rappers don't normally talk about that, even though we all know that that's a thing.
Yeah.
You put up a flyer for a show, and, like, you're thinking in your head, like, who do I know there that might want to do something?
Yeah.
How do you move around on tour to make sure that you're safe? Are those real concerns that come up frequently? Or,
I mean, when you're in a position like me, you come from where I come from, like, just being completely honest, you got to keep killers around you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just simple. You got to have them type of people around you.
Right.
You got to have people that'll fight. You got to have people who will kill. And you got to have people who are going to protect you and defend you. Other than that, you ain't never wear your jewelry out.
You don't do
that?
You
ain't never walk around with no money on you.
You were, like, apologizing to Kevin Lyles for running around with your jewelry on.
Yeah.
In the song.
Yeah.
Is that real? You got, like, industry connects, or kind of like, come on, man, you got to chill out a little bit?
Who?
Is that how you are, that your industry connects are sort of looking out for you, being like, bro, like, you can't be running around flashy as fuck all the time?
So the thing about me, right, it ain't like, can't nobody really tell me that.
Because
I'm the same type of person as them. So it's a mutual respect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm running around with 5 me's. 5 T-Grizzlies. It ain't like, oh, I need y'all, man, to make sure I'm straight.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Because even if I'm by myself, I'm going to hold it down anyway. You know, so it ain't never like that. But it's just like a friendship more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these is my friends. It ain't like they doing me a service, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because, like, when you're on tour, though, it's like a lot of people want to go on tour, go play a show in a different state, and they want to bring, like, one person with them. And it's like, if you're talking about certain things in your music and stuff, it's probably not a good idea. Like, if you're the kind of rapper where it matters if you get your shit took, then it's like a bad idea. But like, you know, it's like a lot of people don't want to make that concession of spending some more money to just like buy plane tickets for their friends and shit.
I ain't gonna lie, if you're talking like that, if you're talking spicy like that, you better not go nowhere one deep.
Yeah.
You better not go nowhere one deep unless when you touch down, you connected with the people from the hoods. Man, I need you to pull up on me with something.
Mm. Yeah, because people talk about the check-in thing a lot. Like, the whole Tekashi 6ix9ine shit went crazy because, you know, he was saying he wouldn't check in California and stuff. What's your attitude on that?
On checking in?
Yeah.
I feel like, this is my take on it. I feel like if you're going to come to somebody's city, do a show and leave, you know what I'm saying, then that's cool. I don't feel like you got to call nobody. But if you're going to be moving around somebody else's territory, on somebody else's soil, you know what I'm saying, messing with the females, going to these little spots, going through the hood, then you need to call somebody.
Mm.
Because not only is that protecting you, that's just the right thing to do. Because now when you call somebody, boom, what's up, bro? My name's such, I just got to the city. What's going on out here? Let me know, like, what's the, you know what I'm saying, what y'all be on? They going to pull up, y'all going to link. It's going to be love. It ain't like you calling, yeah, I'm here, I just want to let you know. No, it ain't nothing like that. Mm. You calling in, you connecting with them people. They gonna see you in all the right directions, and if anything happens to you, they gonna make sure you straight.
But it's crazy because it's like checking in is a scary thing if you aren't certified. Like, if your background is valid enough that when you check in, people just want to show you respect, then you're good. But if you go to check in and you're a bitch, then you're probably gonna get extorted and shit.
I ain't gonna lie. If you come to my city and you call me tomorrow, man, I'm just checking in, man. I just want you to know I'm just checking in. I'm like, all right, pull up and check in. And I'm taking everything you got. Don't call me like that.
Exactly. Like, if you aren't you, if you were just a regular guy still trying to make it, you know that somebody got thousands of dollars of jewelry or whatever, and he's just, like, trying to be safe. It's like, if you aren't certified enough that people have to show you some respect, what do you expect?
Man, listen, you smoked.
Mm.
Everything is coming with us. Everything. The way that you do it, it's a ways to check in without checking in.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But that's just a respect thing. You know what I'm saying? That's like in prison and you a blood and you come on the yard. You got to check in with all the gangs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm this. This is what I claim. This is what I stand for. And I'm here. Boom. I respect everybody. I ain't nobody way. I ain't here to do none of that. But I'm going to stand my ground. Boom. When I get to cities, I call the dudes from the hoods. What up, though? What y'all boys on out here? Oh, yeah, I just got out here. I'm Dolo. Let's do something, pop out. Show me what y'all city be got going on.
Mm-hmm.
What y'all females like, what's the good places to eat at? What's up? You know what I'm saying? So when I come back, I can just call, I just got here, bro. What's, link up.
Mm.
Stuff like that. It ain't necessarily no, I just want to make sure, like somebody, the mayor, I just want to make sure everything all right with y'all if I do this show out here. Mm-hmm. No, it ain't that.
But do you have a lot of people trying to check in with you basically because you're like one of the biggest names from where you're from now?
Don't nobody come to Detroit anyway.
That's a good point.
It's a million people you got to check in with in Detroit. Nobody got time for that. Because you might check in to me and ain't good with him.
Mm-hmm.
Might check in to him and ain't good with these other people.
Right.
You'll be doing a lot of checking in trying to check in Detroit.
Can I ask, I'm not sure how easily you can talk about this, but what's the status of the FBG duck beef?
I don't know him.
Is there anything, like, how did that even start?
I don't even know. I don't know who that is. He from Chicago. Only people I know from Chicago is Dirk, Buka, and them. I don't Chance, you know, and a lot of them people. I don't know nothing about no beef. I want to see everybody win and get money.
Well, that's good. That's a very mature response. Yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to figure that out. Last night when I was searching your name on YouTube, I was just trying to piece together what exactly was going on with that and everything. Yeah, so you still can't. Would you be a normal weed smoker if you weren't on papers?
Probably so.
Okay. Is there part of you that having not done it for a while that makes you feel like, man, maybe I should just leave that alone?
No, I never smoked weed.
Oh, you're never into that.
But I feel like it looks sweet. And
there's got to be something for it, right?
It got to be a reason that people keep doing it. It got to be a reason people keep doing it. So I got to do it when I get off.
That's how my girl feels. She, like, sees all these people smoking weed around me, and she's like, I wish I liked that. I wish I could do that.
And look, when you in the club, it's nothing like walking in the club, rolling up, or on the stage, dancing, the lights hitting, and you just, like, puffing clouds. Like, it looks sweet.
There's a lot of people that I feel like they smoke weed primarily because they just are nervous and they don't know what the fuck to do with their hands. So they just sit there and just smoke because they got no idea what to do with themselves.
I can't wait to smoke. I can't wait to pull up on somebody, roll the window down. What's up with y'all, boy?
You're a different kind of rapper all of a sudden.
I can't wait.
But did you have a relationship with drugs like when you were younger? You ever doing anything else?
No, I wasn't never into nothing for real.
Okay.
I ain't never did nothing.
But so would you try anything else once you're off papers? You're gonna try the lean? You got to taste test all of them and shit?
I ain't gonna try to. I might do some acid. No, I'm messing with it.
I'm like, holy shit.
No, I ain't gonna do that though. I might just stick with the weed and liquor. I'm gonna leave it at that. You know, I ain't gonna try nothing extraordinary.
Yeah, lean's too messy, man. You could end up all fucked up in the head.
This one I don't like lean because I be seeing people in the hospital when they try to quit it.
Mm.
You know, Adderall, I seen a lot of college people take that. I ain't mad at that drug. Percocets, I done seen people take that, depending on which one. And I don't see nobody go crazy off that, but lean and all this other stuff that make you wake up in prison. Talking about some what happened. Oh, you shot a dude at the club. I don't remember. I'm cool on all that. Give me, you know.
If you think dudes look cool smoking a blunt in the club, what about when you look over and you see a guy standing on the couch with a big old bag of coke and his key out and he's just like shoveling up his nose? That's some Hollywood shit.
I ain't gonna lie. Let me see how I feel about that right quick. Let me see. If I see somebody, I'd be like, he tweaking, look. You know what I'm saying? That's a little crazy. But
I seen dudes in the club, though, who I seen them for a sec. I thought they were just like super like hood looking dudes. And then all of a sudden I see them doing that. I'm like, wow, we really are in Hollywood.
Man, listen, I done seen some females talking about, do y'all got some coke?
Oh, girls love coke, yeah.
I'm like, some what? Talking about the Coca-Cola? No, coke. Like, man, oh, man, it's a party, nah.
Nah, once you get off papers, you got to just have the coke in your house for the girls in case they want it. You don't got to do it.
That's crazy.
Maybe. I don't know. If you like, yeah, that works. That's
no, you got to keep it because there's females that do it. You got to keep it. You got to keep it.
But like a really small amount. You keep like a 40 on you so that like that way like they can't go crazy all night. Just
so,
a little bit.
And so if you get caught, it ain't possession. It ain't distribution.
Right.
It's possession. Like you was going to do it.
Right. And you probably even have like a whole eight ball as long as it's one bag. You get.
Yeah. The police pulled me over with that. No, this for me. I ain't selling this. Getting rid of this.
No, I'm doing all this, officer.
Yeah.
No, I don't do coke anymore. That shit's really bad news. That shit'll ruin your life.
It will.
Yeah. You get aggressive on that shit.
Oh yeah.
You be wilding out. You don't know. You're not in control of your mood. You're just like fucking. You can be doing it, having a great time, and then all of a sudden you run out and you're in a real bad mood.
And I don't need to be no more aggressive than I am.
Yeah, I could see you definitely mopping somebody up real quick.
Yeah, because I'm a real like calm type of cool person.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So when you just go there, you just go there.
Yeah. So where do you feel like you're at this point in your career? You got this new project coming out. What do you like? What's the tone of your career? What are you hoping to accomplish with this new joint?
I'm just hoping to just level up off of this. You know, everywhere I go, I be seeing that people are excited to see me, whether I'm in Vegas, Cali, New York, down south, Hawaii, wherever I'm at, like, people be real excited to see me.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to level up off this one.
I mean, you're a hit maker. You're like, a very large percentage of the songs on that first tape went crazy and did serious fucking numbers. So, I mean, definitely seems like you got a real knack for that.
I appreciate it. But on this one, though, I'm doing something different. Like, on the first tape, I was doing, like, a lot of, like, singing, melodic stuff. On this one, I'm doing more rapping.
Really?
Yeah.
Was there anything in particular that made you want to do that?
Yeah, because, okay, first day out was what blew me up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to stick to what the people like and ask for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the melodic stuff is good, but that's like a side dish. It's like a good macaroni. And a rap is like the main, like the chicken or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what that is.
Yeah, that's dope. Fucking, has there been any like experiences you had since you first got on that like were the most mind blowing for you? Like in terms of just experiences, people you met, things that you never thought you would do in your entire life. What stood out to you?
Catching flights. I never been on a plane before the music.
Really?
Yeah, I never traveled. So when I first got to seeing like out here, it was just crazy to me when people like Jay-Z and LeBron got to talking about me, Chris Brown putting my videos on this page.
Because Jay-Z had the tweet where he mentioned you, right?
Yeah. It's just like that. All that type of stuff is just stuff I never thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like and TMZ running up to me knowing who I am. I never thought that type of stuff would happen.
At least they didn't like run up to you and think you were Uzi Vert or whatever. I've seen them do that to like multiple rappers who are not Uzi. They ran up to Dex thinking he was Uzi and shit.
And what'd Dex say?
He just kind of tried to play along with it, acting like he was Uzi. And just try to be nice about it because it's like such a rude thing to do.
Yeah.
Nah, man, that's crazy though. It's just like seeing how far your career has come in such a short period of time. The fact that you're not like jaded to it, that you're still like kind of in amazement of like how shit is going and how fast shit could go just from making good music.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. You're doing a whole big tour associated with the tape and everything? Or?
Yes, I am after it drop. Yeah, I'm going to see what their favorite songs is and jump out on the road.
Hell yeah. Is there any features that you got there or like anything out of the ordinary on this shit?
The Chris Brown feature was out of the ordinary for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You get him in there to do the singing for you since you're kind of not trying to do it as much yourself?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I got Jeezy on there like passing me the street torch.
That's you know? What's up.
Got a little Pump on there rapping, like really rapping.
Oh, for real?
Really rapping.
How'd you meet him?
I forgot. I think it was through my mixer. Yeah, my engineer. He was with him mixing some songs down or whatever, and I just connected with him like that.
That's fire. Lil Pump verses are rare these days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what's up. Yeah, so anything else? How much long are you in L.A. for?
I leave tomorrow.
Oh, okay. What are you going to do from there?
I go to the Bay Area tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and just do some promotion stuff.
Do you feel like you're going to make the L.A. move at some point once you're done with the system?
Definitely. First place I'm coming.
Really?
I just love the vibe out here. It just looks too good. The weather good. I don't know about all them forest fires that have been going on.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to live in the forest.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be safe. You got to be more careful with your safety when you're back home probably too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Out here, it's kind of like easier to stay out of the bullshit.
Out here, you good. You ain't got nothing to worry about. At the crib, it's like, oh, yeah, we beefing in high school. It's still on. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
You're like, you realistically probably are only going to get into beef here if you're from here.
Yeah.
Everybody from here hates each other on some street shit or whatever, but if you kind of just move out here, you got to really fuck up to be somebody's, to have a real problem out here.
You got to be in people's business to get in some beef out here.
Yep.
You know, I ain't about to be running around with this hood some awesome years. Yeah, I'm in that too.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, don't click up too hard out here, that's for
Ever.
Sure too.
I'll be out here chilling on Rodeo somewhere, one of the prominent little areas. Chilling, laid back.
That's a good point.
One of these Instagram famous females.
You want to get on TMZ, you got to go Rodeo. Yeah. You go in the Gucci store for 10 minutes, I'll be waiting for you when you come out.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, man. T Grizzly, this is a fucking dope interview. It was really cool to get to know you a bit better. Any thanks? Anybody want to shout out before we get out of here?
Shout out to Activated, May 11th. That's
Activated.
It. Album, first album. You know, make sure y'all go great. Shout out to all the people that supporting me. I want y'all to know that all the support is keeping me off the streets. Whether it's a stream, whether it's helping me with something music-wise, anything, I appreciate it. You know, much love.
Buy a t-shirt, it'll keep T-Grizzly out the streets.
Yeah.
Gang shit.
GoFundMe.
Hey, much love to T-Grizzly for coming through. This has been No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you. For sure. Appreciate you. I'm rolling like an alpine, I got no joy. I'm rolling like an alpine.